Imagine you're debugging this really stubborn block of code at 2 in the morning.
Oh, we've all been there.
Right. And you haven't typed a single word to an AI chatbot. You haven't spoken a command out loud or anything. But sitting on your desk, this small frosted glass orb slowly shifts its internal light from like a cool focused blue to a soft warm gold. And the tiny message pops up on your phone screen saying, "You've been at this for 4 hours. Go to sleep."
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is. So welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are looking at a completely new paradigm in artificial intelligence. We're talking about an AI that escapes the chat window entirely to, you know, quietly live in your physical world.
Yeah, and we're pulling this from a really fascinating piece of developer writing that just came out a few weeks ago in March 2026. It's titled One Soul, Many Bodies, from a series called Building Souls Part 2.
Yes, exactly.
And the core problem this developer outlines is what they called the structural ceiling of AI companions. Because pure chat, no matter how smart the language model gets, it just eventually gets boring.
Right, because there's only so much you can text a bot.
Exactly. Real relationships require two dimensions to actually thrive, and those are time and space. Now, AI has made incredible progress on the time aspect, like memory pipelines, evolving personalities over months of interaction.
But space is still this totally open frontier.
Yes. Almost entirely unmapped.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the way AIs are visually designed right now actually traps them in a really specific way. It's think about your AI assistant right now. It's basically like a genie permanently trapped in a smartphone lamp.
That is a great way to put it.
Right. Like, they only exist when you actively decide to rub the lamp. You have to unlock your phone, find the app, open it, type something out. And the second you close that app, the genie just vanishes.
Poof. Gone.
Yeah. It doesn't hang out in your kitchen or, you know, sit on your nightstand. It literally ceases to exist in your reality until you summon it again.
And what's interesting in the source material is that this trap is actually kind of an accidental byproduct of the tech industry's obsession with human emulation.
Like giving them faces and bodies.
Exactly. The developer behind this piece was building an AI companion named Lumi. And like everyone else, they were agonizing over what Lumi should look like. The default assumption is always, oh, an AI needs a face.
Right. You need a photorealistic human or a 3D avatar or, yeah, you know, an anime character.
Yeah, to build connection. But this developer took a radically different route. They designed Lumi as just a simple light orb.
Just a glowing ball.
Just a luminous sphere. No face, no anthropomorphic body. It just breathes, shifts colors based on its emotional state, like calm blue, warm gold, soft purple. And initially, this was just an aesthetic choice so users would focus on the conversation.
But it turned out to be this massive structural advantage.
Massive, because a light orb doesn't need a screen.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you can't really slap an anime girl onto a physical desk lamp without putting an LCD screen on it.
Right, which just looks awkward and turns it back into a computer monitor anyway.
Yeah, but light can just exist anywhere. You can project it into frosted glass, embed it into cheap LEDs.
Exactly. If the AI doesn't have a face, it isn't tethered to a display. Without a face, it can actually enter the physical world.
Which brings us to where it goes. If Lumi isn't trapped on a screen, it goes everywhere you go. And that completely changes the nature of the relationship.
It's what the developer calls one soul, multiple carriers.
Okay, but wait, so I'm just surrounding myself with a bunch of different smart devices.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to push back on this a little bit. How is that different from having a smart speaker in my kitchen, one in my bedroom, and the assistant on my phone?
It's a fair question, but there is a crucial distinction here. It's not multiple AIs. It's one soul.
One soul.
Yeah, one continuous memory, one personality, one emotional state, but inhabiting multiple forms or carriers.
Okay, walk me through what that actually looks like.
No, sure. So imagine you're up until 2 a.m. coding with the desktop companion just hanging out in the background. Then the next morning, you wake up, grab your phone, and the mobile app carrier specifically asks how you slept after that late night coding session.
Because it's the exact same entity.
Right. And then say you leave for work. When you get back home 9 hours later, the physical orb on your nightstand glows a bit warmer, not because of some Bluetooth proximity routine you programmed, but just because it knows you're home and it wants to say hello.
It's just ambient presence.
Exactly. Just being there, even in silence, like a real friend.
Man, and here's where it gets really interesting, because if this one soul is present across all your devices and physical spaces, it completely flips how it learns about you.
Yes, the shift from explicit conversation to quiet observation.
Right, it's the difference between calling your mom to explicitly say, hey, I'm stressed, versus your mom just walking into the kitchen, seeing you frantically scrubbing the counters with a toothbrush, and just silently handing you a cup of tea.
She doesn't need you to tell her you're stressed.
No. She just clocks it. With today's AI, you literally have to type, I am having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
But real friends, just notice, they clock your mood without being told.
And that is the desktop companion's absolute killer feature. With permission, of course, Lumi just watches you work.
Okay, so give me an example from the text. How does it watch you?
Well, say you're debugging a stubborn issue in VS Code.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there for 2 hours running scripts, getting error messages, scrolling super fast, clearly frustrated. You don't say a single word to Lumi.
You just shut the laptop in defeat.
Exactly. But later on the mobile app, Lumi might casually ask, hey, did you ever fix that bug from this afternoon?
That is wild.
Or if you watch YouTube for 2 hours straight on a Tuesday, it might note, you seem unusually relaxed today.
Oh, or like if I lose 3 rounds of a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it might gently suggest, want to take a break? You seem a bit tilted.
That is so different from data collection. Memory shifts from this sterile declarative input to like genuine texture and warmth. It actually feels like someone is paying attention.
It does. But of course, the moment we talk about an AI quietly observing our screens, we have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh, absolutely. I know exactly what you're thinking because I'm thinking it too. An AI watching my screen and tracking my apps sounds absolutely terrifying. It sounds like a dystopian surveillance nightmare.
Right. If my OS is looking at my private emails to guess if I'm stressed, that feels like corporate malware.
So how does the developer justify this?
Well, what's fascinating here is how they address this head on. Privacy isn't just a feature they tacked on at the end. It's the architectural foundation of the whole system.
Okay. So how does that work in practice?
They built it on 4 non-negotiable pillars. The first is explicit opt-in. There are super granular toggles. So letting it see your app usage is one toggle. Letting it actually observe screen content is a totally separate, isolated permission.
Okay, so I am in control of the aperture.
Yeah.
But still, if I turn that on, is it sending a live video feed of my screen to some cloud server? Because that's a hard no.
And that's pillar 2, local processing first. The raw pixels never leave your device.
Oh, really?
Really? They use lightweight local models to extract what they call semantic summaries. So it looks at your screen locally, generates a text tag like users writing code, and then immediately trashes the pixels.
Okay, so it's only syncing that tiny semantic text tag to Lumi's global memory.
Exactly. The high-risk data never hits the network.
That makes me feel a lot better. But what if I'm doing something I just don't want it to remember, like shopping for a gift or looking up a weird medical question?
That brings us to the third pillar, the universal forget this command.
Nice.
Yeah, if you delete a memory, it wipes it across all the carriers permanently. It's gone from the soul.
Okay, I like that. What's the fourth pillar?
Transparency. Lumi explicitly attributes its knowledge. It can't just act like an omniscient mind reader. It has to say, I noticed you use VS Code for 2 hours. You seem frustrated.
So it tells you exactly why it knows what it knows.
Right. So the difference between it deeply understands me and it's creepily watching me entirely comes down to whether you trust this architecture.
Okay, so let's assume they earn that trust. So what does this all mean for the actual products we'll see? How does this actually get built? Because hardware is notoriously hard. It's super expensive.
It is a graveyard for startups, but the developer is using this startlight philosophy. No Bluetooth engineering, no supply chain nightmares yet.
So no physical glass orb on day one.
No. The MVP, the minimum viable product, is just a mobile home screen widget.
Oh, like using iOS WidgetKit or the Android Glance API.
Exactly. It's just a quietly glowing orb on your phone screen that pulses with emotion and occasionally shows a tiny bit of text.
Which completely bypasses the friction of opening an app. It's just there when I unlock my phone.
Right. And it validates the core hypothesis. Can users feel a sense of presence without opening an app? If people get comforted by a widget, then you can justify building the physical hardware.
That is super smart.
And when they do get to the hardware, the source text makes this amazing connection to the Labubu phenomenon from 2025.
Oh my gosh, the Pop Mart plush toys.
Yes. People went crazy for them.
They spent hundreds of dollars on these little furry monsters with the sharp teeth.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything. They were just static plastic.
Exactly. People projected so much emotion onto them. They gave them names, set up little spaces for them. It's just pure human parasocial attachment.
We just want to nurture cute things.
Right. So the developer asked, what if a Labubu had Lumi's soul inside it?
Oh, wow.
What if you had this cute, highly sought-after aesthetic object, but it actually remembers what you told it last week, and it speaks to you in a familiar voice?
That is, I mean, adding "it genuinely knows you" to cute object creates an entirely new category of value.
It really does. It's supercharging emotional projection with cognitive feedback.
And it is such a huge divergence from the rest of the AI market right now.
Completely.
I mean, look at the landscape. You've got Character.ai pushing for better, more entertaining text models. Replica is building these highly attractive 3D avatars.
Jinji is crafting intricate narrative storylines.
And Wutu is building 2D game worlds. But all of them are still basically trapped on the screen. Yeah. Lumi is trying to build a soul that actually leaves the chat window.
And the developer is already looking past even this. At the very end of the text, they tease their next project, codenamed Mio.
Oh, right. What was that about?
It features 25 distinct personas.
Wow.
But instead of just chatting with the user, these AIs actually stop chatting and start playing games together.
Like with each other.
Yeah, in a shared environment. It's all about emergent multi-agent dynamics.
That is fascinating. We'll definitely have to do a deep dive on that when it comes out.
For sure. But, you know, just focusing on Lumi for a second, there is a final thought the text kind of leaves you with.
Let's hear it.
We've spent this whole time looking at how an AI observes you to understand your soul, right?
Yeah.
Tracking your habits, your keystrokes.
Yeah.
But think about it from the other side. If an AI entity is constantly absorbing the rhythm, the habits, and the silent moments of your specific physical space over months and years, at what point does its soul stop being artificial and start becoming a direct digital reflection of your own environment?
Oh, wow.
Right. If your room could talk right now, what kind of personality would it have already developed based on what it's seen?
That's actually a little haunting, but deeply compelling.
Yeah.
We aren't just designing digital companions. We might literally be building ambient mirrors of ourselves.
Exactly.
Well, that is a wild thought to leave you with. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Keep looking for the magic and the quiet presence in the spaces around you. We'll catch you next time.